From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, September 28th. Coming up, there's a lot of COVID-19 data available through state and federal resources, but those numbers can be confusing or raise questions. We'll learn about some people doing their own COVID-19 data tracking. But first, these headlines. Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan does not plan to testify this week before a special investigative committee probing his role in a bribery scheme involving ComEd. Capital News Illinois reports it's unlikely that most of the other potential witnesses that Republicans want to hear from will testify either. Madigan called the committee, quote, a political stunt being orchestrated by House Republican leader Jim Durkin. Madigan has not been charged and maintains his innocence. The committee's next scheduled meeting is tomorrow. Several advocacy groups are again readying support for proposals that would offer paid sick leave in Illinois. Such legislation passed through the state Senate in 2019. The measure did not make it to either chamber for a vote in the truncated session this spring. Sarah Labadie is a policy analyst with Women Employed, which has argued for paid sick leave legislation. She calls COVID-19, quote, the big elephant in the room at the moment.
It is critical that we have these programs permanently for people to take advantage of, take care of themselves and family members when they're sick.
The Illinois Chamber of Commerce has opposed such proposals in the past because they would mandate that businesses provide sick leave rather than offering it as an option. 13 states and Washington, D.C. have enacted paid sick leave laws. Maine's law takes effect next year. Shoppers looking for their favorite cuts of meat should soon see plenty of it. Beef and pork production are nearly back to pre-pandemic levels after disruptions during the spring when outbreaks of COVID-19 sent workers home and meat plants reduced production. That left farmers, ranchers, and feedlots with animals on site longer than expected and reduced the supply of fresh beef and pork. Oklahoma State University livestock economist Daryl Peel says very little beef cattle remains backed up.
It's taken the rest of the summer and here into the fall to sort of catch up, if you will. I think we are largely caught up at this point. The indications are that we have largely addressed the backlog.
Most backlogged pigs have also made it to market. Despite fears that hundreds of thousands of hogs would be euthanized and never reach the food supply, the actual numbers were much lower than those estimates. Amid a legal battle over the 2020 census counting deadline, some groups in Illinois are advocating for more time. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports.
As of Friday, about 98% of Illinois households had responded to the census. Many of those that remain are in historically undercounted communities, including rural and communities of color. Griselda Vega Samuel is with the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Speaking on the 21st show, she says it's crucial to have as much time as possible for census takers to visit houses that haven't responded yet.
We know that non-response follow-up, the person-to-person contact, particularly in communities of color, particularly in the rural communities, is so critical in these last few months.
She says she therefore supports an October 31st census deadline. Illinois currently ranks 22nd in the nation in total response rates. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
The deadline to fill out your census is now October 31st and can be done at my2020census.gov. The Macon County Health Department building will be closed today because of a confirmed case of COVID-19 associated with the department. Officials say they'll thoroughly clean the building and contact trace any close contacts with the person who tested positive. Coles County public health officials announced an additional death from COVID-19 over the weekend, bringing the total number of deaths to 30. Coles County public health officials also reported 28 new cases of the virus this past weekend, bringing the county's total to more than 1,500 cases. Still to come, we'll meet some people doing their own COVID-19 tracking data because they're either confused or not confident in state and national data. That's next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. There's a lot of COVID-19 data available through state and federal resources, but those numbers can be confusing or raise questions. As SideFX Public Media's Natalie Krebs reports, that's inspired some people to do their own data tracking.
Every morning, Sarah Willett logs onto Twitch, a platform typically used for live streaming games, and gets to work live streaming spreadsheets.
Okay, so I'm going to quickly update because I've had a few reports.
Willett lives in Ames, Iowa, and spends hours every day creating tables and graphs for her own COVID-19 website. She says it presents data in a way that's much easier to grasp than on the state's official website.
So they don't have to go jump into a tiny link at the bottom of the main page to see how many hospitalizations there are in their county. They don't have to calculate out what percentage of their county is infected. These are data points, statistics that are missing on the state site.
Willett has been collecting data since Iowa announced its first COVID-19 cases in March. She has a rare immunodeficiency that makes her more susceptible to getting sick, and the information eases her anxiety. She thinks it does the same for others because her site gets thousands of hits daily.
There's a lot of us who are data literate that facts and science and data makes us think more clearly and understand whether or not it's safe to go to the grocery store on a Tuesday.
Willett isn't the only person who has spent hours analyzing COVID-19 numbers around the country. In March, a pair of journalists teamed up with a software developer to launch the COVID-19 tracking project. They currently have hundreds of volunteers who update their website with figures across the country. And as the new academic year started, a Kansas teacher built a nationwide database of COVID cases at schools. After it went viral, the National Education Association took over her project. Dana Jones is another data detective. The nurse practitioner in eastern Iowa made national headlines in August when she revealed a glitch in the state's COVID-19 tracking system. She discovered that it was incorrectly backdating thousands of cases. Jones says she had been tracking numbers just as a concerned citizen.
I was trying to, really understand how the pandemic was evolving and changing and trying to kind of gauge my own personal safety and the safety of my family based on trends.
Iowa officials have defended their online database, saying numbers sometimes shift around because they're updating statistics in real time. And though some health experts say independent trackers play a crucial role in checking government figures, they also approach those findings with caution. Megan Srinivas is an infectious disease specialist in Fort Dodge, Iowa.
I mean, there's always a concern as to what the validity of their findings are, what they're basing their data on. And that's exactly why I'm very hesitant to automatically say so-and-so is right or so-and-so is the person you should follow until I've had a chance to verify it myself, talk to them thoroughly.
Willett, a former administrative assistant, says that's why transparency is important and why she live streams the daily process of updating her website.
I don't want there ever to be the thought process that I'm taking data from somewhere else and my numbers are different than the state's numbers.
She says her husband, a doctor trained in biostatistics, double checks her findings. Recently, Willett contracted with the Iowa State Education Association to create a database of cases in the state's K-12 schools. This was after Iowa said it would not be creating its own. Willett says she's not motivated by the new paycheck.
Even at the end of the day, I've worked 16, 18 hours straight. I still feel good, knowing that I'm helping other people and I'm making it so that they can make the decisions they need.
Willett says she'll keep tracking numbers for the rest of the pandemic. For SideFX Public Media, I'm Natalie Krebs.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Capital News Illinois, Maureen McKinney, Amy Mayer, and Dana Cronin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.